Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a great spotlight on the Southwest for this show. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and thanks for being here. So the name of our show today is Food Cycling. Tucson and Fry's Foods Lead the Way. That's a mouthful, a little bit of alliteration there, but I got it out. Please join me in welcoming Sherry Ludlam, environmental scientist, waste diversion, City of Tucson Environmental Services Department, and I'm only going to say that once, Sherry.
Yes,
because that's a mouthful. That's a lot on a business card. But before we begin the show, and there's so much content to cover, I want to almost do like staccato questioning so that we get a lot of the content covered about a really important, innovative, creative program that is going on here in the city, and maybe excite other people to get involved in any ways they can. But before we begin, I'm just going to do another quick tip about recycling for our friends at the city and their Do More Blue campaign. It's really important to educate yourself about what to throw and, equally important, what not to throw in the recycling bin. So two more things you do not want in the mix with your recycling are styrofoam and used clothing. Styrofoam, not acceptable. I know that the Fairfax Companies is taking styrofoam. They bought a huge machine. So if you're a true greenie and you want to save your styrofoam, you can recycle it at the Fairfax Companies. But the Do More Blue campaign is so important. It's easy. It's accessible. Use clothing. Do not put used clothing in your Do More Blue. That's Do More Goodwill or something. But you don't need to put it in the recycling. For more information about what you can put in your blue bin and what you can, please visit tucsonaz.gov/do-more-blue. It's a fun website. It lists everything, and you want to make sure that what you're recycling, that you're not contaminating by not knowing exactly what can and cannot be put in there. So was that a good shout out, Sherry?
Yes, it's always a good shout out.
To do anything about that. So the food cycle program, I'm excited about it, and I really want the show to be all about you. So first of all, let's start with, what is it?
Food Cycle is a one-of-a-kind, really special program that we can only do here in the Southwest because of the advantages we have in Tucson.
Like what?
The University of Arizona, the City of Tucson, and the Tohono O'odham Nation.
How wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really and truly a collaborative and a partnership.
It is. The Compost Cats from the University of Arizona partnered up with the San Javier Co-op Farm in order to build and develop their extensive composting possibilities. We partnered with Compost Cats in the U of A in order to be able to provide composting to commercial customers through the Food Cycle program. So it goes all the way around.
And this one is focused on businesses.
It is for commercial.
For commercial use. So
yes.
Restaurants and grocery stores.
Yes. And then in order to get a complete mix for composting, parks, the Reed Park Zoo, we add in a little bit of...
whatever they might have to offer to the do more composting.
we like to call it zoo-do.
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 That is a hashtag waiting to go viral.
Yeah, we'll leave that one up to parks and the zoo. But
oh
we do
gosh.
Get green waste from the parks, and that gives us a nice balanced mix.
I love it. No, I had to write that down. Hashtag. I think in hashtags, which is in and of itself quite sad. So this is part of, tell me about Plan Tucson. This a little bit, is this all part of Plan Tucson?
Well, the Plan Tucson, we are supposed to be trying to get to zero waste. And when you look at zero waste and your opportunities for turning waste items into valuable inputs for another step, food waste, green waste, composting is a perfect recycling idea. So that's going to expand our waste diversion. If you've got 80% of the material that's going to the landfill that's going to be either recyclable or compostable. You've got to build those programs to address that.
So that's Plan Tucson.
That's part of Plan Tucson.
Environment and Sustainable Community Plan Tucson, which I love. So the city's Environmental Services Department works in partnership with U of A Compost Cats and San Javier Co-op Farm. Tell me about each role. You do the collection.
We do the collection. We have contracts with our commercial customers, and it's restaurants. We actually have a couple of companies that, because they like to use compostable dishes for their potlucks, we go and we service them.
That's really great, though.
Too.
The more, the merrier.
The more, the merrier. We have large chains, Fry's, another chain, local chain. We were doing actual industrial. We'd like to get some more of those customers on board as well. So, but it's commercial and collecting their food waste.
And is it growing?
Yes.
That's what
growing.
I want to know. Is it growing? Is it building momentum? I mean, Fry stepped up. We want to talk about them and how it works. Because when I think about these things, I think about the implementation piece. It's great for six people to sit around the table and shake hands and say, oh, we're all going to do this. And then staff training and getting employees trained to participate is, to me, would be another challenge. I mean, you have staff turnover, but you want to have some processes in place. If you're a Fry's, for example, massive number of people to get it trained, get the people trained and, you know, get on board with the process.
Well, we started with 14 and we're up to 50 now.
Fry's was a nice
addition in the last few months. And we brought them on in steps. Our program does include an orientation where we educate why we're doing this, how we're doing this, what we need them to do, what we need them not to do.
I was going to ask you that. Is there also what not to throw? Because that matters too.
There is a what
not to
throw.
Don't put any meat in there.
No.
No meat.
I actually go out and do the contamination checks on these things, and I can tell when there's a contaminant, especially meat. Because that
doesn't smell so good.
That's the nastiest containers.
Oh my gosh. So yeah. So there is the training piece, and you actually cover that. That's just really great. Mm-hmm. And from 14 to 50, when did it start?
We did a pilot program from June of 14 to June of 15, and we added some customers in there at that point, but we wanted to be able to do this right, so we took our time. Between May of 15 and May of 16, we've doubled. We've got, in one of our lines, we're up 500% in our weights.
It's so good for the planet and for I mean, it's just really triple bottom line. It's really a good thing. So what about the compost cats? What's their role and how has that enhanced or improved the whole thing, or has it?
Our partnership with Compost Cats allowed us to do this. With the city doing what the city is needing to do, we can't establish our own compost facility.
Right.
They know how to do it. They've got their partnership and the property, the water, and their relationship with San Javier. So they actually make the compost.
Critical piece.
It is a critical piece.
You got the waste. Now what are you going to do with it? That's a whole nother manpower, you know, all of that work that it takes to make it happen and turn it into that beautiful compost that we so know and love.
And it's a pure recycling. I mean, you can put those materials in your blue bin, but if they don't get turned into something new, then you haven't really recycled. With the composting, it's pure local recycling. It's our waste being made into something new for the benefit of the local economy.
And then does the San Javier Co-op Farm, do they use the compost? What's the end game for the stuff that you create?
San Javier gets 20%. They let Compost Cats use some of their equipment. They've got lots of tractors.
Great.
This is the co-op farm. So they've been working on nourishing their ground both through their farming practices and with the addition of the compost, It looks really nice. Their dirt looks good.
And smells good.
It smells good.
It's really great.
So that's how San Javier comes in. They help. And it's a give and take between Compost Cats and the co-op farm. And they would like to start closing the loop because they've now got local produce. Beautiful, beautiful carrots from
right
down at the co-op farm.
Sorry, you didn't bring
ago
any samples here.
I haven't been to the farm lately. So that's it's truly a partnership. Everybody's playing to their strengths.
And that was my next question. It really was unscriptable here, but when you have you have a major university, you have a big government department, and you have a co-op, a NGO. I'm not sure if it's an NGO or a nonprofit, but mm-hmm. It's a good organization. I always wonder about spreading these ideas. Do people in your role, like I know Christina goes to waste conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Do you share this model so that other people, because I think sometimes systems are what are the stumbling block for implementing good ideas. Well, you have created a system, as you said, where each organization plays to their strengths. Is this something that could actually be held up as a model? I mean, it certainly is in my mind.
We're working on that. We're government, so we wind up being a little bit hidebound. Whereas, you know, send the Compost Cats out to a conference and they're enthusiastic and they're young and they sell really well.
Yeah. That's real. And they inspire.
They inspire.
They inspire. I went to the National Food Recovery Network conference in April, and I was, you know, I was in a bubble, a great bubble for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And it's college campuses all over the country and what they're doing with their food waste and food recovery and how they're feeding, you know, elderly and homeless and all that stuff. And you talk about young kids with bright ideas. And there again, they have to partner because it's a systems issue. It's not a lack of will. It's like, okay, we have this food. How do we set up the distribution system?
Oh, well, yeah, with Compost Cats, the way that they were doing collection when they started the program, we can do that. We can make sure that you children grow up and be healthy instead of having bad backs and all kinds of, yeah.
Because it's just not easy. But you do have some numbers for me, and I think people love numbers. So the Compost Cats have accepted and processed how many millions of pounds of waste, keeping it out of the landfill?
Compost Cats, from the beginning of their program, have done 10 million pounds.
I mean, like, I want to ring the bell. I don't ring the bell very often, but it's like, that's a bell ringer. That's a lot, and it's turning into something useful that makes then the earth healthier, the produce healthier. It's a beautiful cycle of life the way it should be, instead of just putting all the stuff in landfills
mm-hmm.
and turning it into methane or whatever it gets turned into. This is a happy show. Let's just talk about really happy things. Talk about how Fry's came on board. How did they do it? Because it is, again, how did you pitch them, or did you have to?
Fry's came on board because of conversations with the Grocers Association.
Got it.
And we gave them a tour
of San Javier.
Of San Javier.
That's brilliant.
And
see
they
where
went
it's
back.
Going.
Yep, they went back and started talking amongst themselves. They have a lot of green programs that are going on in their storms, their water consumption, their power, just really neat things.
Very forward thinking.
Yes, some of their stores already had compost.
Okay.
But it's not available everywhere. So then they started looking to see what they could do and what we could help them with. And we brought on 12 stores incrementally. We signed the contract at one time.
Right.
We stepped the service. It's been beautiful stuff coming out of their stores. They follow the food waste hierarchy. as do all of our grocery stores.
Which I think we should talk about that when you finish this, because so people understand what the food waste hierarchy is.
So they do donate to local food banks, and then other material is going into the compost. Real quick with what canned, it can be the stuff from the bakery department, produce department. If you have a spill in the backyard, the back room, your flour tips over, your sugar tips over, those things could go into the compost, bag and all, if it's a paper bag.
Wow.
Other
that's ongoing education. I mean, so that's the food. Tell us what the food hierarchy is.
The food hierarchy is established by EPA, where well, we've got hierarchies for everything.
I was going to say, this is my first little insight as to what is a food hierarchy when it comes to food waste, but I love it.
It's also a triangle.
Of course it is. If it came from a government agency, just like the food triangle of things we're supposed to eat that keeps getting flipped every 10 years.
Yes.
Sorry to say. Don't eat carbs. Yes, eat carbs. Don't eat protein. Yes, eat protein. Eat less protein. Eat more fruit. It's like, okay, so go ahead. Tell me about this food hierarchy.
So the first thing with food waste is source reduction. Don't waste the food in the first place.
So don't, like for a grocery store, I was talking to you about this movie, Just Eat It. Don't buy too much.
Yes.
Try to manage what you purchase so there is less food waste. That's the first step. Love this. Okay.
Yes. So there's that. If it's ugly fruit, maybe start an ugly fruit
program. I love that too. That's
program.
Yes. That's a big wave that's hitting the country.
Yes.
It's pretty soon it's going to be really in to have ugly tomatoes. Like when you go to the farmer's market, do you look for the perfectly red, round one?
No, I look for the interesting ones.
I look for the gnarly ones with little bumps on the side and growing a little thing out here. And if it's an heirloom tomato, you know it's going to be good.
Yes.
The uglier, the better. I think that's true, actually.
Not beautiful, but they taste good.
They taste so good. So ugly fruit.
So source reduction, then you're supposed to feed people. If it's going to expire before you can sell it, then it needs to be donated to the food banks. It's always better to feed people. The next step would be feed animals.
Okay.
Then there are industrial uses, and the industrial uses have been around for a long time. Grease and bones has...
Got it. Okay.
They get recycled into other substances. Then it would be composting, and then at the very bottom, the least desirable thing to do would be to landfill this material.
And what would be, is there food that you have to landfill? I know you can't put meat in composting. I know that much. But what is there anything you can think of? I have no idea.
Yeah.
You're the scientist.
If your freezer failed and you've got a whole load of salmon... let's just send that to the landfill.
Right, okay.
Landfill will eat it up and it'll be just fine.
Okay. All right. So that's good to know. Mm-hmm. I have never, ever heard about the food hierarchy, but it makes really good sense. And I wonder if stores, we don't have to go into that, but I know that a lot of them turn it into fodder, food for animals, some of their stuff. Farmers do it more, I think, maybe than food stores.
We actually have a cute story where at one of our bins, guy rode in on his horse. The store is right on the edge of town.
This is a true story?
This is a true story.
For all you Easterners back there listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, happens here. Yep. Oh, I can't believe it. So the man's right up on his horse.
He opened up the top of the bin and the horse started dining. Right out of the container.
Excuse me. Oh my gosh, that's great. I wish that had been caught on video.
Oh, don't you?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, we'd be famous.
We would. It'd be viral. Oh my gosh, I love it.
Viral.
Okay, we'd be viral. I love those kind of stories. So you have the food hierarchy. And then, so with fries, the management got on board and really said, let's do this. Staff obviously are cooperating. What kind of cost is it to them? Is it an appreciable cost or something that they just fit in? And can there be benefits? Like, does it have an impact on what I would call like the culture of the food store, turning it into food waste into something else, for example?
It's one of the things when we do our orientations, when we start a customer, we do an orientation. Part of that is the value that's going to come out of this. it's we want you to
triple
feed
bottom line.
The triple bottom line.
Yes, people, profit, planet.
And when we did that at Fry's, that was part of the Fry's presentation.
That's great.
As a government, you know.
And it's important.
As far as the fees are concerned, yes, we are an enterprise fund, so we have to cover our costs. And when we started this, we priced it out as a recycling program. So it's the same prices as our posted recycling expenses, fees.
So that's really great, and it just becomes a part of what they're doing.
Right.
And then you did tell me a creative story before we got on air about, you know, there's a mindset, and I know when I went to the National Food Recovery Network, I learned so much about what I call the ripple effect on food systems within a university when these kids really became advocates for minimizing food waste. So the providers of the food got on board in really looking at how much they were providing and other recycling opportunities. So when you have the food waste, there is a question here. Do creative opportunities arise where they're taking the food before it's turned into waste and maybe turning it into something they sell?
They are.
And I already know the answer to that, everybody. I'm not tricking you.
They are. I was surprised when I found this out. We do go out and we check for contamination.
Right.
And looking at a store's bin, and their weights are going down. Their volume is going down. You know, are they not interested?
Right.
Do we have a problem?
And they haven't bought in.
So we went and we talked to them, and they said, oh, no. We started taking our tortillas off the shelves a couple of days in advance, and we fry them up in the store and sell them as chips.
And make delicious chips.
And, you know, we've got good salsa to go with them. Okay.
That's a great smile story.
They're making, I don't know the name of it, but basically it's a bread pudding. So the buns and things from the bakery department are being made into a bread pudding and sold.
Delish.
Fresh, yummy food. So that's what I do with my bread scraps at home.
And quite affordable, I'm sure, if they're taking a product and it's repurposing a food, which is a really smart idea.
Right.
Reduce, reuse, recycle, and repurpose. That's my fourth R all the time. So that's really a great idea.
It's a value-added product all the way around.
All the way around. And what about fruit? Are there creative things they can do with fruit that's about ready to go?
Well, some of the stores are making the juices. So if it's close, nice and ripe, beautifully sweet,
smoothies,
they can make some juice. There's more of, you know, when I was growing up, they'd take all the really ugly looking bananas and put them into a bag and sell them for, you know, 99 cents.
And you can make banana bread.
Terrific for banana bread. They're doing that with more fruits now. They'll have a whole section in the store that's in the produce section that's for, these fruits have got to go, and we're going to give you a bargain.
And, you know, it speaks volumes about the concept of there are people starving. We don't want to put as much food in the landfills. And if this ugly fruit concept really catches on, and we make jokes about going viral because it's the cliche of our time, but it would change the world. It would change world hunger.
Yes.
Because so much of it, I mean, I know way too much about how much is wasted before it ever gets to our grocery store. And it would make it interesting instead of everything. You know, and I know there are shipping issues, but think about this. Instead of having to put them all in individual little containers, that you put them in a bag and then sold them because they don't all match in size, people would do that. People are going to the farmers markets by the millions, the hundreds of millions people are going to farmers market because of things like this.
Right.
The weird size, the weird shape. So that's really exciting. What about, I would think, and I hope it's okay to ask this question, but here we are asking. You can say, no, Gina, it is absolutely not. But what do you do, and are you in the process of trying to get more food chains on board? Because why wouldn't they want to do this? Is it too much a corporate decision, or what's the deal here? We have a big locally owned chain. That's statewide, but I'm not going to mention because I think they're a great grocery store. But what are you guys doing to sell the program?
Well, that locally owned store chain is actually part of our program.
Great.
They are.
That's great.
They're doing it where they can. They're finding challenges in composting opportunities where there isn't a facility.
Okay.
But they're doing it with us. Several of the other national chains have got a national service for their compost.
So it gets shipped?
Yeah.
It gets transported out of the community?
Yeah.
Mrs. Green reacts strongly to this. No way.
Yeah.
It's got to be more expensive for them to do that, too. It doesn't make sense at all. I can do the ranting because I'm Mrs. Green and I don't work for the government. Like, are you kidding me right now?
I
have a
like
hashtag for that, but I don't ever curse on the air.
I just like to say, you know, we've got a good program and it's pure local recycling.
And we don't ship because we're not using fuel to transport it to facilities around the country. That is awful. I'm sorry. So we need to get on that. It doesn't make sense to me from any perspective, including financially. I'd love to have a go at that, what they could save if they kept it local. It's so counterintuitive to me that my stomach's doing cartwheels. Okay, that's it. That's my little rant. I have to get over it. So do you have any concept back to numbers of, you know, like total number of customers when you started in current, and if we, I don't think we actually covered that, and total tonnage of materials? Lots of tons. We have the compost cats helping 10 million pounds of waste.
Right.
A big number.
As far as customers are concerned, it went 14 up to 50. We have a little bit of seasonality with some of our customers.
That's really good growth, and it's not that long a time.
In 2 years.
Yes, in 2 years.
Right.
Yeah, that's really good.
Then we do also collect, Food Cycle's a program, but then we collect green waste and manure and
Zoodoo.
And even the Zoodoo has grown. We started out with just the elephants. So, you know, some of that's cute little Nandi stuff.
Right.
Stuff.
The absolute internationally known Nandi. I was watching that Facebook page every single day. I think every person in Tucson was, but so were millions of people around the world.
And she does her business.
Our little
it comes
Nandi.
To us. Then the zoo added in the other herbivores. So the camels, hippopotamuses, if they're eating their fruits and vegetables like we all should, then that material comes to us as well. But we had...
Because then it's healthy Zoodoo. That's the thing that people need to know. If you're feeding your animals healthy food, their doo is healthier.
Yes.
Instead of chemicals and toxins and all that stuff from cheap fillers.
Manure is a terrific additive. Yes. To the nutrition of compost. So one of the things that's really grown is horse manure. We're at 500% of our starting tonnage with horse manure. Well, we brought on the racetrack, so we're there at their season, and then some of the other ranches and riding stables.
It's just all good. And we have probably like a minute and a half left. And the question I didn't ask is, if you can do it in a 30-second soundbite, how did you start this in the first place? Why did you? It's a really creative, innovative concept to take food waste and make something out of it.
Okay, well, part of it is because food waste is the hot thing in garbage.
Okay.
There's not a lot of hot things in the garbage industry.
Yes, true.
But it's also because it's part of that 80% that we can divert, and we've got good on recycling, so this is the next step in order to increase our diversion.
That's a great answer. I mean, it is. And it is a hot topic, and it's a great topic. It's one of the things in my wheelhouse that gives me joy, because I see positive things happening for the planet, for people, for our, you know, for our very earth and the food we eat. So everybody, I want to tell you how to find out more about this so I don't get in trouble from Christina. You can find out, you go to tucsonaz.gov/ESSAMD, and there's a great article on their website, tucsonaz.gov/ES/food cycle, Facebook, City of Tucson. Next week, Jennifer Barney from the School of Global Policy from UC San Diego, and down to earth, Scott Clark and Fernando Molina from Tucson Water. Make it a great green week. Sherry Ludlam, thanks for being on Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Take care to waste not. Bye, everybody.